Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We've been trying to get together with Chad Dukes for a long time and have him on the show. And it was determined a while back that Chad would come out and join us when he had a big, big announcement to make. And that big, big announcement is that there's Chad right down there. Hi, Chad.
I knew you meant 14, Mike. Josh is sticking in the mud.
Thank you. I appreciate you supporting me on that one. It was determined that he would come on when he had this big announcement, and that announcement is that Chad's been involved in a motion picture, which is so exciting. I think I think most of us that get into this business at all want to do something like that at some point, be on television or in the movies. And this is a real movie that's coming out. And every time I look or hear the title of the film, I just channel a voice that a lot of you don't know in our listening audience now. And DC people might, but even the DC people that are younger wouldn't remember this guy. That's how long it's been. His name is Jack Kent Cook, and the movie is called Tapawingo. And Tapawingo is the movie. And Chad, we can do it two ways. You can tell us about the movie after we run the trailer, or we can run the trailer. You can tell us about it and then we'll run the trailer, whatever way you want to do it.
Well, considering I already provided the biggest laugh I'm going to this afternoon backstage before your show began, you might as well just run the trailer, because I'm not going to add anything.
When you added that laugh, by the way, which unfortunately nobody heard, it is why. That is something where, I could have you here every day. I felt this enormous weight lifted off of me. I don't get that support. And, it would just be, and it's, I feel the same way each and every day. Look at Rob's look right now. to have someone else to acknowledge my feelings as a radio person.
Chad, won't you join him every day?
I'd love to. I do know the feeling of just believing in your heart of hearts that you're killing it, and then looking around and Easter Island has surrounded you and nobody will sell shit. I absolutely understand where you're coming from, Mike.
Well, Tapawingo is the movie. Let's run the trailer, and then you can tell us about everything that's coming up with it. Let's take a look at Tapawingo.
Scoog residents, Ramona speaking.
Hi, Mom. This is Nate. Phil and I were wondering what you're making for dinner.
Beanie Weenies. You two want to eat here?
Beanie Weenies. No thanks.
Can you show a little initiative down in the mailroom?
Where are my ding-dongs?
We may be able to bring you on full time.
Can't be locked into a 9-to-5.
Tell me about it.
You work here 3 hours a day and you still gotta call your friends.
I gotta go.
Maybe we should look into some mercenary work. You know, storming haciendas. What? High-powered explosives.
Hit the deck!
Protecting the weak and stupid.
Did you break any fingers?
No, there was some butt hair at the park that got in the middle.
This is my park!
Jay, you have a mustache?
Kind of.
Hey! Do you want to tell me why our yard was vandalized?
I treat aggression in geometry.
Nice ride.
What is this?
My overriding fear is that we may have stirred up a bit of a hornet's nest.
We could do this the easy way or the hard way.
I thought you had to work today.
You talk about being a mercenary. It's time to put your toe in the water.
A core punch is when you head directly into the eye of the storm.
Pick up Oswald after school again, and you won't like what happens.
We have a client with certain security issues.
How do we know you haven't forgotten your moves? Checks out.
Things have escalated.
How much?
A butt ton.
That's not a smile.
We're gonna have to think outside the box on this one.
I devise a possible avenue of attack.
Oh, God.
Someone crosses the line.
I'm called my brother Stoney.
Yeah.
Is that Billy Zane that I...
Billy
is
Zane.
Is that the Billy Zane at the end of that? That
you don't,
is Billy effing Zane.
From you don't recognize Titanic, my brother? Yeah. You don't recognize my brother in the film? We don't look fraternal to you?
Oh, my God. That is fantastic. That is so... and right away, you get a major star with, you know, my lips hurt real bad.
John Heaters.
All right, so tell me all about how long ago did you do it? When, how did it come about? Everything else? How does a lonely, podcast Fairfax County entrepreneur dive into the world of feature films?
I was wondering how many pejoratives were going to come out there from Mike's edge when he was describing my current state. Well, it's funny, Mike, because like when I got cast, it was right after. See, you had the dignity of being fired. I was canceled. And I've got to say, it's a very different set of circumstances.
I'm sure it is. Mm-hmm. I am sure. And I want to get to, if you can, I want to get into that as well.
Sure.
Just to chat with you about that. That was a while back as well. So, how did the movie come out? I mean, it come about. It's cool.
You know our former employer; they treat you fairly. So, when I was, I was in the throes of getting canceled, and I didn't know what I was going to do, and I hadn't started the Chad Duke show yet, and I got a call from a guy that said, "We want you to read for a movie," and I knew it was are you guys? I fear me. Do you curse on YouTube?
We
can
don't.
Say you're it, fine. And we'll
clean it up.
I got a call from. I was assumed it was a dickhead Reddit troll person that was trying to make me feel worse than I already did.
Right.
And I got three or four calls from him, and I said, "Look, if you want me to read for anything, I need to talk to whoever the director of this promotion is." And the guy called me, and his name was Dylan. And he's listened to your show, Mike. He listened to my show. He's a big JFK P1 for years. And he said, "I've got this part for this creepy guy. And I think it'd be perfect for you. Have you ever acted?" And I said, "I acted at like Braddock Secondary School. I lettered, in fact, in a little theater."
Theater arts.
Of course. And he was like, "Okay, well, that's good for me." So I read for a part. Like a week went by. I didn't think anything of it. They came back and they said I did well enough. They offered me a larger part. And I read for that. And I guess they dug it. And we filmed in the middle of COVID. So we were down in Hopewell, Virginia, outside of Richmond. It was 150 degrees. I can't explain to you how hot it is. And we had masks on, and they had COVID officials, and we almost got shut down while we were doing it. And my first day on the set, I have a big fight scene with Napoleon Dynamite. Like, I have a fight with John Hader Boy, and we're rolling around on the ground in roots, and I'm big and fat and out of shape, and I'm getting, like, chafing. But my only goal in the whole thing, I think you guys can appreciate this, I just didn't want to be the one that screwed everything up. I didn't want to be the reason why they had to say, "Cut, we got to go again." So I knew all my lines, and whenever they asked me to do something, I said, "Okay." So there's scenes where I'm hanging off of cameras and stuff, and I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'm just like,
You're not going to screw it up.
So
yeah.
I hope not. I mean, if people watch it, they may decide differently, but I did during the filming process, I don't think I was the reason that we had any problems.
That is, I mean, to dive into that situation and to be suddenly thrust into a real feature film being shot, as dumb as it looks, it's just, and it has that great kind of Napoleon Dynamite quality to it, and it just looks like fun. I mean, that's the first word I would say. And so you dive in and you don't know. When do you know that everything is okay, that everything's ready to go, that you will be? Obviously, you can end up on the cutting room floor, but if you have a large part, that's probably not going to happen. When did you breathe a sigh of relief? Because I'm sure that's the way it goes making feature films, and people I've talked to that do it, you breathe a certain sigh of relief. I'm going to be in the movie. It's real. From start to finish, when it started to that point, how long did that take before you knew you were going to be a real part of this?
There was like six or seven of those that you just described. One was when I actually showed up in Richmond and I realized there was a movie set, because up until that point, I thought this was an elaborate hoax. I hadn't been paid. Like, I didn't know what was going on. I'm standing in wardrobe and they're giving me these crazy clothes. I said, okay, that's real. And then when we got out onto the set and I realized I've got scenes with John Hader, I've got scenes with Billy Zane, like there's sequences where it's just me and Billy Zane in a car, and we're driving around Richmond. I'm like, well, they can't cut me out. Like, I can't be cut out of this movie. Also, they cut the guy they're paying all the money for out.
Were you tickled to see how well you were featured in the trailer? I mean, that was wild. Right?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like, in the trailer, got 500,000 views, I think. So, like, it's there's people that have seen it that clearly don't give an S about me. But the thing that kind of was tough is that I don't know how you guys are. I always like to think that movie stars aren't really handsome and they're not better than us. And if you're standing next to Billy Zane and he's looking at you and he's got those piercing blue eyes, and I'm just like, he's in Tombstone, he's in Titanic, he's the Phantom. And I'm watching it, and I'm like, oh, you are better than me. You're better than me by leaps and bounds. And so that part, it's tough to not just loathe yourself so much while you're interacting with these people to try to be peers. Because John Hader, Heater is an incredible dude. Like, he's really nice and affable, and so he made it easy. But Billy Zane is a goddamn movie star, and so...
Right. Yeah,
if you're acting with him, it's like, I don't deserve to be here, and I just have to pretend as hard as I can that we should be in the same scene together. So yeah, it was a lot of learning, and he was only there for a week, and so it was a lot of stuff crammed in. We were shooting at 3 o'clock in the morning because he had to be on a plane to go shoot in Greece like 2 days after that. So it was quite a trial by fire.
How long did you shoot? If he was there for a week, how long were you down there?
I came back because I'm a loser, so I had nothing going on. So like everybody,
so you were on call.
Everybody else had hard hats. They're having their martinis. Everybody give a round of applause. And Dylan's like, can you come back down next weekend and film some other stuff? I'm like, yeah, I got nothing going on. So,
there you go. Yeah, there you go.
I was about 3 weeks, I think, total for me to get all of my scenes.
Cool. Yeah.
I looked it up. It was June 21 when you sent me this picture to prove the movie was real.
Yeah. Yeah, that was terrifying. And that's I'm actually holding on to the camera there. And the reason I look like that is they start pushing towards me. And I'm supposed to look like I'm fighting, but I'm physically just fighting to stand up, and there are 300 people around you, and it's 100 million degrees out, and I got chafing and swamp ass, and they have me in black denim, Mike, and a bowling shirt and cowboy boots, and I'm like, please Jesus, and I'm having a panic attack, and I drank the night before. It was just, I can't say it was, the first day was a tough day.
It's just so cool. I'm so envious because I'd love to have done something like that. It's neat, and now you're taking it to Comic-Con and what's the distribution with all of it? How's it going to work? How is it going to go out to the public?
So Dylan's made movies before. He's very talented. As you can see, he wanted to make a Wes Anderson-like comedy, and I think he's done a fantastic job. Rob, you're very familiar. It's been 2 years of him. I went to so many. There's a Arkansas movie festival that I went to. There was the Virginia one was huge. We went to that one. We've been all over the country kind of marketing this. I went to 4 or 5 of them, and some of the bigger stars. Gina Gershon went to New York. The movie's been signed by Magnolia, and we have a distribution deal with that. And the first step, as you mentioned, San Diego Comic-Con, that'll be on Saturday the 26th. It's not Hall H where they do all the Marvel stuff, but it's the second biggest hall. There's 2,200 seats. So if you're in the area, you can go. But
it's room 2 BCF if you want to buy your tickets. That's what it's going to be. Thank you.
Probably should have known that. I can't tell you how many guests I've had on radio shows that have no idea what to plug for their own stuff, and I just curse a blue streak whenever they hang up the phone afterwards. But then hopefully after that, guys, it'll be, I think, late August. There's a date that's kind of confirmed in late August, but Dylan asked me not to confirm it, because you have more listeners. If my listeners find out, it doesn't really matter. If you guys' listeners find out, it kind of gets into the ether, so...
It's so cool.
Congrats, man.
I love it. And, and it's been a while since we have chatted. The background, if there is a stranger background with another radio personality that I have, it's with this guy. We still keep in touch with each other, and we're always friendly when we see each other. And, Rob, you're going to probably have to help me with the history because I'm terrible at it.
All right.
But my memory is first and foremost Big O and Dukes coming on to WJFK, and I remember in a very very short period of time, I totally got into their show.
Yeah.
I thought they were just the senses of humor were perfect. It matched
it
perfectly.
Was you perfect know. For the ride home. Because it would be right after us, and we'd go out to our cars, and we turn it on. I loved having you guys on the radio on the way home.
Thank
it was
you,
so
Rob.
Fun.
And it was, and then time passes, and my radio partner ends up leaving. Don leaves, and goes on to other things. I hold down the fort for about a year, and then the station changes format and goes to all sports, and they keep Chad in, and they move Chad to the afternoon, where that was my time slot, and they hooked Chad up with LeVar Arrington. And through all that, I don't remember. I remember I've always joked about it. But I know there has to be a time. There was probably a time right at the beginning when I was, you know, really freaked out about it. But I remember when I got the format change and I did not stay with the station, that I surprisingly left and felt kind of a world lifted off of me to be out of that daily stuff. And then, you know, the bitterness would come later. So I think I'm getting the history right.
I think that before we left, you guys went to middays for a while, or did you do an hour in the afternoon? How did that work?
No, we did 5 hours. Like when they finally got rid of Opie and Anthony in the
middays.
That's
what it was. Yeah.
We took over. So we ultimately were doing 5 hours of radio with Big O and Dukes. And then LeVar and I, because it was his idea and he'd never done radio before, God bless him, he wanted more money, so he volunteered us for 5 hours also. And I was like, LeVar, I don't think you understand like what type of a commitment that is. And
yeah, it's what we did. When you think about it, about 5 hours of live radio, it is excruciatingly difficult to do. And so after the fact, Chad and I stayed friendly with each other, and it was it was kind of a back and forth. We don't, we don't communicate regularly, but we do every now and then, like a lot of friends that I have.
Yeah.
And then comes your radio career, and you're chugging along, and you are you worked with LeVar for
5 years.
For 5 years.
Yeah.
And then you're involved in a cancellation where you go away, and so radio is an extremely difficult medium because there's all sorts of stuff that happens. You have so many other people that are involved with it, and you stay on the podcast, and that's you keep that going, and talk to me if you can about, and I don't need to know the history of it as much as your side of it, it happens very, very quickly. It's happened to a lot of people in our business.
Yeah. Well, it's happened to anybody in our business that has not an enormous amount of power and a huge back catalog of doing a disgusting hot talk, guy talk show for decades. I was also still doing Big O and Dukes while I was Chad Dukes versus the World. So I'm doing an FM sports talk radio show where, you know, what I got and ultimately got canceled for, I hear all the time on Sirius XM, like Barstool says worse things every day. It's just, I'm an uptight, lame Squaresville population, me, sports talk radio, which I'm grateful to have a job like doing an afternoon drive. Mike, it was an honor. I mean, the reason I wanted to do afternoon drive radio is driving by 10800 Main Street and imagining what you and Don look like as I look through the window of the goddamn radio station. So I took it very seriously, but sports talk is super lame, and the jokes that I got fired for, it was a disgruntled ex-employee. I know who it was. It doesn't matter at this point. I've kind of cathartically dispelled it, but they were just clipping stuff I had said years ago on Big O and Dukes and then tagging, the Washington Examiner and the Washington Post and the DC Sports Blog, and this man's filled with hate. And it was jokes about video games and jokes that were on South Park. I'm not that funny. And so most of my stuff's lifted. So it was that it always was a risk that could happen, and it came crashing down. And the only reason why I have a beef with it is the radio station put out a press release that I was hate speech and they have zero tolerance. And the shit that was really kind of dirty and really didn't help me moving forward. And I'm like, this could have been handled better. And then the very next day they're buying Sports Talk 980 and they're hiring Brian Mitchell. And I'm kind of like, okay, maybe there's more going on here than just Dukes is a Zionist or whatever I'm being accused of. So that was pretty much what happened. And then I started my own show and I do what you guys do now.
When you go through that to have the experience of doing it, you are what I would refer to as a hot potato. People can't come near you. I didn't come near you. You know, I was the last guy who was going to come near you.
You texted, though. I don't want to break kayfabe, but both you and Rob, everybody was very kind on this end of the sphere.
Yeah, and it's just, talk to me, if you can, about that when it happens, what it's like to go through. I was fired. That was, you know, people get fired in radio. It happens. Sure. It didn't happen to me a lot in my career, but when it happens, it happens. That has to be a pretty scary time to just realize what's going to, this is your life. This is what you've done since you were a little guy. And now this is happening. I mean, talk to me about that.
You're the first person to ask me these questions, so forgive me if this is disjointed at all, and I appreciate it. What's the scariest part of being canceled is what it could potentially do to your friends. And what it could, this was a very different era. This was years ago where canceling was at its height, and they were, I remember J.P. Finley, people were asking for him to be fired because he did a segment on my show, and that meant he was a white nationalist. I mean, it got crazy for a while. And my producer, I hired this kid, Tor. I think you guys are familiar, and he's a great kid, great future in this business. He couldn't take a picture with me. He couldn't wear a Chad Duke Show shirt when I first started because he's like, I don't want to get canceled. I'm just starting off in this business. And Loud Goat, who I think you guys know, like, I wanted to do a show with him immediately, but I'm like, he's got a job. Like, I really felt like a leper for many, many months. And it was very lonely, and I got a good wife, and I got a good dog, and I have a good inner circle, people that meant something to me reached out and said, we know you're not a hateful person. We know who you are. We know your character. And I can't even explain to you how far that goes. It was I haven't thought about it in a while, but it was incredibly dicey, and it was something that definitely makes you stronger, and it's something you have to really work through. You talked about resent, Mike. You feel a lot of resentment, you feel a lot of hate, and you feel like, why didn't anybody stand up for me? And it's like, what are they going to do? Like, what's John Allville going to do to keep my job? You know, what's Grant Paulson going to do to keep my job? There's nothing they can do. And I wouldn't want them to risk their jobs. And so it was a very unique, getting fired is, I've been fired. I heard you guys talk about moving on and getting markets canceled and stuff like that. Like, the best shows I'd ever listened to, they'd all been whacked in radio. I'd never heard of any of them going through what I did. And I'll be honest, I didn't make the impact in my time on the radio that you did, or that ONA did, or that Stern did, or Bubba the Love Sponge, or whomever. So I was nervous about that aspect of it too, that I wouldn't have this massive audience to fall. And Oscar left. When I'd asked him 2 days previously, will we keep doing Big O and Dukes if something happens to me? And he said, yes, that went away. So like, not only did I not have Big O and Dukes, I don't have Chad Dukes versus the world. It's like, I got to create something completely new. And thank God for people like Josh Sroka, who reached out to me and said, screw this, we're not letting this hurt what you want to do. We're going to build you something, and you're going to be fine. And now I kick myself for being as scared as I was back when it happened, because my life's better than it ever has been. So thank you for asking. I don't think I've ever given that answer.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'm curious. I think the last time I saw you, Chad, was at Cameron Gray's memoriam.
Yeah.
And it was a weird feeling because it was sad, but there were so many JFK people there that I hadn't seen in years, including you. And it was a good feeling to be around them. And it was sort of a mental nod to when things were truly great.
They were better.
Yeah. I'm wondering that with what you went through, does it sour your memories at all? Or do you still think fondly back before the cancellation?
That's a really good question. That was such an amazing day. It was such an awful day. And I miss Cameron a lot. That
I do too.
Came up. But it was great seeing CK. It was great seeing, there was a G. Gordon Liddy jacket hanging when you walked in. I mean, there was just so much great stuff. And I miss that. The problem is, we'll never get it back, will we? Like, the toothpaste is out of the tube. A building like we had could never even exist anymore at 1800 Main Street. Like, it's a time that you look back on and think, it reminds me of video stores now, where I feel like if I had kids, I'd be incredibly sad that they'll never know the experience of checking out a tape on Friday night and buying candy and going home and having a weekend. Everything's on demand. So I feel that way about radio. And I don't know, how do you guys get as bitter about the proliferation of podcasts as I do? Because every single human being on earth has one of these where we all sit in quadrants, and they're incredibly popular, and they don't have one scintilla of the soul that hot talk radio, did guy talk, whatever you
not
want to call
close.
It.
No,
it's not even close.
And it's like all the personality got sucked over to the world of podcasting, and then they put a firecracker in the middle of it, and it exploded into 50 million different podcasts. Yep. And you used to have people that had to come through the trenches and get on the radio to do it, and it was longer. It was much more audience interaction that they used to have. And but I mean, that's the reality. And in my case, I can go back even further and tell you about, you know, WAVA back in the day with the morning show and what radio was back then. And you guys weren't even involved in that.
No,
that radio back then was big budgets.
Radio was decaying when I joined it, but there was still some of the fumes, and it was so much fun at the beginning. But to be there for the eventual death of it sucked.
So I can put my finger on what broadcasting in general has turned into. You still have certain guys that are are tapped to be the man, Pat McAfee being a great example.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You can't turn on the television anymore without seeing Pat McAfee and that home run derby. I'm so glad it's getting panned, because nothing has ever, ever deserved to be panned more than that piece of garbage that they called broadcasting the other night. And you get that occasionally, but it's really just outside of strong personalities, it's this vanilla bells and whistles, Jimmy Fallon, bright lights and all that, and it's just not what it was. And in the world of podcasting, just to get noticed, Chad had a radio following, I had a radio following, we're able to survive because of that, but there's so much crap out there.
Yeah.
It's very, very frustrating. And to go through what you went through is extremely difficult to go through. And the thing that people forget, regardless of the circumstances, when you get axed in any of the business of show, it's public failure.
Yeah.
It's a failure that is on display for everybody to see. And that makes it extremely difficult as well. Now, as we move on, and in the elephant in the room, we briefly move on. We both shared a radio partner, and we both had kind of a radio partner who went away.
Yeah.
And I think that I don't know how you feel about it. I don't talk about it that much, but it really feels as though, for me, I really, really regret it, that he left the way he did. And it was only after that happened that I sort of said to myself, I took stock of it, and I said, well, he's done it to this guy,
sure,
and he's done it to this guy, and he's done it to this guy. And it just is, it's very, very tough to go through that as well. And in broadcasting, especially our kind of broadcasting, it happens all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It happens all the time. You went through it with him he left the Big O and Dukes podcast when
I got
that whole whacked thing happened. And have you guys maintained any kind of contact at all? Or because we don't talk about it. I don't call you and go, hey, have you talked to Oscar? I don't.
Sure.
I haven't spoken two words to
Mike
Oscar
calls me like
left.
That, but not you.
No, Oscar and I had a phone call. He said, don't be, take the tampon out of your
right,
and be a man. And then kaboom. And I went online right away and just said, that's it, blah, blah, blah. And then he said it was my fault for going online. Well, it was over in my mind when I went online. That's
sure.
Decision had already been made. I wasn't waiting for you to make that decision.
Right.
I was pissed off. And I'm just wondering whether you've had any contact or what that world looks like, because we've never talked about it privately or publicly.
Yeah. I'll start with this. Drab T-shirt has been incredibly supportive of me throughout this entire thing, no matter what has happened, and that's been nice. And he always was kind of a bridge between us. My situation, I won't speak to your situation with Oscar. I'm not as familiar with it. I know that you guys did a show together and you did well. I can't blame anyone for wanting to get away from me when that was going down, because it was terrifying for me. It must have been terrifying for him. The part that I kind of don't really understand. Well, I do. I always got the sense, and Oscar and I worked well together, and he did a lot for me, and I don't want to say that he didn't. I don't think we would have gotten the job in Phoenix doing radio unless he had been on the grind. You guys know this. He can hustle, and he can bullshit, and he can, you know, there's things he's really good at. And
absolutely.
I'm not as good at those things. I'm as good at hopefully making the Waka Waka, and that won't get you in the door. I got the man tits and the saggy, and, like, he's different. He's pulling up at an H2 and pitching that happened a couple of times. I always got the feeling that Oscar was very good at finding people that could help him and then using them for as long as they could help him and then kind of casting off. Whether or not he did that with me, I gave him a reason to do it, so I can't say otherwise. As far as speaking with him, about a year after I'd been whacked, I got approached by a business in Manassas that was opening up a new venue, and they said, we'd like to do a show. Do you have a show that can fill 600 seats? And I said, not no more, Billy. but I know one that could. So I called Oscar. I texted him, and I said, hey, man, I know you're doing your own thing. It looks like it's going really well, but how about a one-off, split the money right down the middle? We'll just do a live show. People have been asking for it ever since I've been fired, and he gave me, I wouldn't say it was not polite, but it was a very terse, my business goes in different, it was a lot of, blue sky, we'll run it up the flagpole, that type of jargon. I'm like, oh, wow, that's where we're at now. And that's the last time I spoke to him. So I haven't, stuff's happened in my life. I almost died. I fell off a deck, had COVID, all this stuff that happened to
me. How did you almost die?
A deck collapsed while I was fat jokes, please. I was walking, with my dog up a deck at the Outer Banks, and the stairs way underneath me. And I literally was hanging off the side of the deck screaming. And I didn't know how far up I was. Yeah. I'm still fucked up from it. I didn't know how far up I was. So I thought I was on the fourth floor, and I thought I was dead. I did the whole thing where you make your peace with God, and I didn't want my wife to find me, and I was like, I got to fall somewhere where she's not going to find my brain split open, and it was awful. It was awful, and I fell, and I realized I was only one floor up, so I ripped my shoulder and I ripped my leg, but I didn't die. There was nothing protruding. I managed to shove my dog up onto the top deck right before I fell, and the damnable misery of it all is there is these fine Central American gentlemen, God bless them, they're working on the house next door. And they got there right as I was falling. Like, if I could have held on with my big, fat, stupid ass for 10 more seconds, they would have been able to push me up, and I couldn't because I'm such a mess. And, yeah, it took a while to – I'm still physically not 100% recovered, but mentally it takes a while to get over that sort of thing.
But the rental company took care of you.
Yeah, I still haven't gotten a penny from that. But that's something I thought maybe I'd get a call from Oscar on, and no dice. There was nothing there. So.
I didn't even know it.
There's no reason.
The thing about partnerships, and I have found that in my career when things are painful, and this is the only way I can describe it, when things are painful, I move forward.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't want that pain again, so I don't go backwards. That's not to say if I bump into people or I was to see people that I would say, hey, sorry it went down like this. Probably. Don and I did that a couple of times. We haven't spoken in years. I only speak for myself. When I feel like somebody has caused me a little pain, I get out of the garage and I keep driving down the street. I don't look back at the garage. It doesn't, because I feel like if I do or I try to repair something, it's going to cause that pain again. Does that make any sense?
Can I interject with you though, Mike? Here's what I got to call you out a little bit. You're on a different level than most of us are with Don, in the way that you don't need to ever talk to Don again. I understand that. But for the same reason I get pissed off at Led Zeppelin is the same reason I get pissed off at you guys. In that, if I had something in my life where if I put it together, 10,000 people are going to show up and give me $50 a piece. I will eat that S sandwich for whatever it takes. And that's the part that I've never understood. I don't get it with ONA. I don't get it with YouTube, because you've reached a different pinnacle and a different level of followership. God bless you, based on your talents and your longevity, where I would be like, and this goes doubly for him because he's crazier than you are. We all know that.
I you know, it, with me, it, I can only explain it this way. On that level, unlike, I'm going to go down the list of Buzz Burbank, sure, Mark Ronick, Oscar Santana. There are other people I have had in my radio career. I don't have nightmares about them.
Okay.
I still have dreams that involve Don Geronimo.
Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon.
And Rob shares the same thing.
Yeah.
We've discussed it. I don't know whether that might indicate the trauma, but, you know, I still, for a time, was communicating. And sure, then, you know, it's just, I'm not sure I'd want to deal with that, you know?
I would still like to get an occasional call on the last day of vacation.
About how horrible things are.
Exactly.
Oh, don't do that fix it. To me. I'll have another nightmare.
Don't. No, anyway, you're okay. You got to talk it out, baby. Talk it out.
But yeah, and I, since I'm not going to let you hang alone on that, as far as the idea of, and the last thing I'll say about Oscar, my impression is the same as yours regarding, you know, partnerships are valuable until they're not valuable to him.
Sure.
And then... that's kind of the way I looked at it. And, you know, that's the way I feel about it. And there's never been, you know, any contact there. So it happens. Now let's talk about sunnier things, if we can. So you've got the movie coming out. You still have your Chad Duke store in Fairfax.
That's what it's called.
The Chad Duke store.
Punch it right into the ways.
No, hold it. Wait, I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it. Hold on. No.
Can you imagine how quickly we would have gone out of business?
Only if there's a good picture of you in the logo.
Oh, my God. No, this is... I've read it. I've watched... I look online. It's got... I've seen the posts. I've always followed you online.
Thank you.
It's, and I'm not going to F this up. I'm going to say it's the dry goods. It's the... Rob, give me just a little hint. I swear to God, I'm not trying to do this as a bit.
I'll make this clever, and you'll be able to get this.
Give me one thing, I'll get it right.
Virginia is not a state. It is?
Commonwealth Dry Goods.
Yes!
Look at this. Look at this man.
There you go. Commonwealth Dry Goods.
Thank you, Rob. Yep.
And what the hell is it, anyway? What do you sell there?
They have soda and records.
Thank you, Rob. That's exactly yes.
And peanuts.
Also, we have a new spokesperson in the upper quadrant there that I'm going to be contacting after the show.
Yes. Soda and records. And everything else going okay for you?
Yeah,
life is good, even though you're, you know, you've gone through this this accident, and you're feeling better, I hope.
Yeah, I'm really blessed. It's been wonderful to be on with you guys. I would like to do it more. It feels a little bit like coming home.
That goes for me too.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe we can just have a show where we just jump on Rob. That'd be therapeutic.
I got it. Quick, Rob. I have to tell this. I feel like I tell it every time I'm on. Mike, by the way, I just got from CommonwealthDryGoods.com. I got an order for a guy named Marcus Hodges from Reno, Nevada. That I got because of you. And I get those every week.
Oh, that's cool.
Sacramento,
awesome.
Wichita, any Don and Mike market I am represented in because you let us fill in. So thank you for that.
But what is the website again for the store?
It's what is that? Lemonparty.com.
It's
CommonwealthDryGoods.com.
Thank you.
Rob's,
that's what we're looking for.
I got to put Rob over because every time I see him, it reminds me of the scariest moment I ever had in radio. It was the first time that I was allowed to run Ron and Fez live, and it was being piped in from WNEW.
Sure.
And I jacked up the beginning of the show so bad. I didn't hit the ID. The carts didn't fire. And I'm in there melting down. It's Cameron. It's the first time I was allowed to run live programming. And I guess Rob was still cleaning up after your guys' show. And he came in. And I thought, I didn't know much about him. I thought I was going to get an ass kicking. And he just cleaned everything up. I said, don't even worry about it. It happens to everybody the first time. Do you have any questions? And he couldn't have been nicer to me, having no idea who I was. And it really, I think, saved my radio career. Because I was just so... in an emotional tsunami thinking I've ruined my favorite radio station.
Well, so ever since your cancellation, I would appreciate you not telling that story anymore.
Mom's the word. Never again.
Listen, the movie is, Rob, give all the stats because it you is have them in front of you. Tapawingo.
You can see it at the San Diego Comic-Con this weekend. It's in a room 2BCF, 2,200 seats that will go fast. And if you want details, go to Instagram, follow Tapawingo Film.
And please watch the trailer and give it a thumbs up. That, you know,
it's
I don't
a great
know,
trailer.
That's
yeah,
how it works.
Worth it.
Yeah, please.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you ever wonder about me and my personality, that was nearly a half an hour with the guy that stole my job. I just always got to give you one of those. Good luck with the movie. You will come on again, and I'll come on your thing, and
100%.
We'll do that. We will collaborate in the future. That would be wonderful. Chad Dukes, good to see you.
Thank you so much for taking
the time to join us.
My pleasure.
And the show continues. Thank you very much, Chad. And that was fun. Josh, thanks
be
for
well,
putting
Chadwick.
That together.
That's
that was
good
very,
stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah.